VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're going to have a little different sort of program today. We're going to be having an open forum on the topic of Islam. Many of you have questions about Islam. Here are a few that you may want to consider. Is Islam just another religion? Is a mosque the same as a church? Is it okay for my daughter to date a Muslim man with the hope of winning him to Christ? How do I stop Islam from advancing in my school? How do I respond when somebody calls me an Islamophobe? What does Islam teach about Jesus? What does it teach about salvation? Is there a difference between Islam and extremist Islam? Is Islam a religion of peace? Well, these are a number of questions. And right here at the very start, we're going to open our phone lines and give you opportunity to call and ask your question on Islam. With us is Usama Dakdak. He is a founder of the Straightway of Grace Ministry. He's a speaker on the daily radio broadcast revealing the truth about Islam. He speaks fluent Arabic. He's translated the Quran into English. He's the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and Exposing the Truth About Jihad. And today we're opening our phone lines up. And Usama, good afternoon. Good to have you with us.
Hello, Brother Jim. It's always good to be with you and all our wonderful audience through the VCY Network. I apologize.
Great. Well, friends, our number here at Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. It's an open forum on the topic of Islam. And no doubt you've got questions about Islam. Feel free to give us a call right now, 800-733-9829. Let me say, as your calls are coming in right now, just a reminder that tomorrow it appears that the House of Representatives will be voting on H.R. 5, the Equality Act, so-called the Equality Act. As Matt Staver was with us Monday on Crosstalk, this bill destroys bathroom privacy. It directs religious K-12 schools and daycare centers to force children to obey adults who show up at work one day as a man, the next day as a woman. It demands that every religious adoption agency place innocent children in homes with adults involved in same-sex conduct. Under H.R. 5, property owners would be forced to accept renters whose actions violate their religious beliefs. Home-based businesses would be forced to hire and welcome LGBT people into their privately owned homes. In addition to this, this would create more victims, like women in shelters who have been sexually assaulted by a man posing a transgender to gain access to that facility. Liberty Council also points out that churches would be forced to host same-sex ceremonies. Colleges would lose accreditation for noncompliance. If churches or religious organizations take overnight trips, including sports or mission trips, they cannot segregate rooms by biological gender. On and on this goes. Friends, just a reminder, this is to be voted on in Congress tomorrow. You can get information on this by going to lc.org/HR5. That's lc.org for Liberty Council, lc.org/HR5 for more information. You can contact your member of Congress at 202-225-3121. We'll not be talking more on this here today as far as your calls, but we will be taking your calls on Islam. Usama Dakdak is with us here. Just before we get to our topic here, or take our first phone call, Usama, we understand earlier this month of February, Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer there, indicated that the Iowa State Senate opened each day with a prayer, but on February 8th, State Senator Sarah Trone Garriott shared a prayer written by one of her constituents who was a Muslim. The prayer to Allah included references to a number of Allah's 99 names. Interesting that the Iowa State Senate prayed to the Muslim god Allah, even though there are no Muslim members of the Senate. And also, state senators bowed their heads in prayer to a god who curses Christians and Jews and condemns them to hell.
What's amazing, Brother Jim, about Muslim prayers is what most American people do not know, that Muslim must repeat Quran chapter 1 in their five daily prayers 17 times a day. And if we can just examine the last two verses of Quran chapter 1, we'll know exactly how Muslims treat Jews and Christians. As he say, guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom we have graced, he obviously meant the Muslims, not those whom your wrath or your anger is against, and these are the Jews, nor the lost ones, which are the Christians. So in Allah's word, in Quran chapter 1, and that's a very important part of their prayers, is what they call the repeated words which Muslims have to repeat in their prayers. They acknowledge that the only true faith is Islam. The only grace of Allah, the grace of Allah can only be on the Muslims. All Muslims will receive the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah, and all Christians are lost. And here we are in America bringing Muslims to read some Arabic prayer or some Muslim prayer, realizing that they choose some of the 90 names of Allah, not all of them. I would love for Muslim Imam to come to the mic in some of these prayers and read the entire 99 names of Allah. For there, he will let the American people know that Allah, for example, is the best deceiver. That's one of the names of Allah, Al-Makkar. Allah is the one who leads people astray. Allah is the one who, and on and on. So there's some good names of Allah. But we're not even going deeply, theologically. Because even when Muslims say Allah is merciful, Rahman or Rahim, well, guess what? Even that description, Rahman Rahim, is abrogated in the final word of Allah, Quran chapter 9. So you see every chapter in the Quran open with the statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, except chapter 9, which is the last chapter, because Allah is no longer merciful. Or you can see some of the 90 names of Allah to be good titles or good attributes, but that's only towards Muslims, not towards the Jews and the Christians. So the whole thing about Muslim prayer in our opening meeting in our government here in America is actually a great deception. And sadly, those who allow Muslims to pray do not know too much about Islam.
Well, let's see what's on the mind of our listeners today. And sure, the lines are all packed. As soon as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your opportunity to give a call. We're going to begin with Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just briefly, I'd like you to know that my ancestors were completely killed, wiped out except for my grandmother in Armenia. My great-grandfather was an Orthodox priest who refused to convert to Islam, and his head was removed. You can easily tell the difference by judging a tree by its fruit. Wherever Christians go, I mean true Christians, they make life better.
Charlie, do you have a
freedom in Christ?
Yes, Charlie. Charlie, do you have a question for our guest today?
Thank you.
Okay. Lauren in Seattle, Washington, you're on the air.
Hi. So I used to go to a community college, and they had a girl from Syria, and she was saying how she was Muslim and all this, but then I asked her, why wasn't she wearing the hijab? Because from what I've known, Muslim women are supposed to wear the hijab. They're supposed to wear the Muslim outfit. I don't know what it's called. So I was just wondering why she wasn't wearing it.
And what did she say to you?
She basically said that, basically, she's like, it's a new age, you know, women don't really have to wear the hijab anymore.
Thank you, Lauren.
Something similar to that.
Okay, thank you. We're going to have Usama respond to this.
The words of Allah in the Quran, which is heart of Sharia, which Muslims must live by, in Quran chapter 33 and verse 59, Allah told Muhammad, O you prophet, say to your wives and to your daughters and to the women of the believers, let down their covering over them. The hijab, or the dress of the hijab, or we call it burqa, or whatever name you can give to it, it's not a suggestion. It is a command in the word of Allah in the Quran. And if you know exactly how America will look like 5 years from now, let's listen to what Ibn Abbas said. It's very clearly, it is for a Muslim lady to wear two dresses, one from their shoulder down and the other from their head down, except there will be a hole in front of their left eye. And if you don't want to know why left eye, you can ask Muhammad ibn Sirin, who said exactly that is the law of, or that is Sharia. I know in America, Muslims try to make hijab a light subject, even though now, in the last few years, we have literally contest about who have the most attractive, beautiful hijab. But they are doing that to make us believe that it's just a free will of people to wear or not to wear. But in reality, the day will come in America, and you're going to see Saudi Arabia in America, where all Muslims, women, wearing hijab, full covers with one hole in front of their eyes, or this small soft fabric which you can see through by your eyes. This is the law of Islam. Otherwise, they're not practicing Islam.
Let's go to Karen next in Central Point, Oregon. Karen, you're on the air.
Hi. I was able to meet Usama when he came to our Southern Oregon church probably 4 or 5 years ago. But my question is, and to me it's very confounding, and unless the answer is just satanic influence, but why on earth do all these liberal, progressive politicians and people, why are they so behind Islam and supporting it and defending it when it's so draconian? And I just would like his comment on that.
Great.
Thank you,
Karen. And we know, I mean, Islam is not friendly toward women at all, Usama. You were just kind of pointing some things out there. But why is it that liberals and progressives are so getting behind Islam?
Because you worship the same God. Democrats, liberals, lefties, whatever name you want to give to them, they hate the God of the Bible. They hate Jesus. They hate Christianity. They hate the Bible. And I'm not shocked to see that they're willing to remove everything about Christianity out of our public schools, but at the same time, they want to promote everything about Islam. And I wish they teach the real Islam, but they're teaching hogwash Islam. So they worship the same God. In Islam, we call it Allah. In America, we call it Satan. So one way or another, they are giving this country to the Muslims who worship the same gods they worship. It is a very complicated issue, but if you dig deep in it, they are actually turning the light off. And as I always say, when you turn the light off, bugs, roaches, everything else grow. Get rid of the light of Christ and Christianity, and you'll have Islam growing beyond your imagination in America.
Thank you for that call. Let's go next to Melinda calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air, Melinda.
Oh, good afternoon. I have a question. What is the relationship or history between Islam and the Roman Catholic Church? Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, lots of people, Brother Jim, try to say that Catholic is the one who invented Islam. No, Catholic did not invent Islam, even though the devil could have used the Catholic Church to turn it away from the true Orthodox belief of our Christian faith through some of ungodly leaders. But the devil is the devil. Islam have nothing to do with Catholicism. Some would say Waraka ibn Nufal, who is a cousin of Khadija, the wife of Muhammad, helped Muhammad to make up some of the poetry of the Quran, because that's where you read about biblical characters or biblical names. It could be true, but Catholic Church itself did not start the Islam cult. And sadly, now we are in the end of time. We see the Catholic Church are promoting Islam, sadly, through some of the top leaders, like the Pope himself. And I'm thankful to God that there are plenty of Catholic believers who do not agree with what the Pope is doing. And I'm hoping and praying that that will lead everybody, not just Catholic, everybody to dig deep into the scripture, to know the truth of Christianity. Because in reality, Christianity is not what Baptist or Presbyterian or some Catholic leaders do or teach. It is the word of God as we see it throughout the scripture.
I would also just like to refer you, we conducted a program on Crosstalk with Mike Gendron, who was in the Roman Catholic Church for some 34 years, and he did an interview with us entitled, Is There a Common Bond Between Islam and Catholicism? We have that posted up on our website at crosstalkamerica.com. The date was May 16th of 2018 of that interview, just a couple years ago, nearly 3 years ago, but that full program dealt on that topic, the common bond between Islam and Catholicism. To echo in more of what Usama was just saying here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your questions right afterwards. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different races of men are there?
Actually, Chris, the Bible never uses the term race, except when it talks about the human race. Biblically, we all go back to Noah and we all go back to Adam. We're all descended from them and related to all the people of the earth. And you know, this is exactly what genetic studies of the different ethnic groups is showing. Every ethnic group is so genetically similar to the others that it's like we're all from the same family, almost clones. Chris, notice how well this evidence lines up with what the Bible has to say. We don't use scientific evidence to prove the Bible, but we can, by using the evidence, show just how right that Bible is. Aren't you glad we can go back to Genesis and get it right?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's an open forum on Islam today. Usama Dakdak is our speaker. He's the founder of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, a daily speaker on the Revealing the Truth About Islam program that airs over this network. But his website is thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. You'll find many, many helpful resources on his site and books, materials, videos, etc. that will be a real help to you. Let's go next to Hartford, Wisconsin. We have Lee calling. Hi, Lee, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey, I have a question, and that is sometimes our church translates songs into different languages. And sometimes it's translated into Arabic. And for God, they use the word Allah. So I'm just wondering if that word Allah also can be used for the God that we know, or is it specifically for the Muslim God?
Great. Thank you. Good question here, Lee. And let me couple that, Usama, as well with a Bible translator that made a special translation so as not to offend others by referring to Jesus being the son of Allah, and Allah's, God, etc.
Well, sadly, first of all, this covers the name Allah. That the word Allah, it is the Arabic word which comes from the Hebrew word Elohim. So if you open my Bible in the Arabic language, you will see Allah. But it's just a title. It is the word God as a title. It has nothing to do with any religion. Islam or Christianity or others. In the Kaaba where Muhammad grew up, there was 360 ilah, singular, for the word Allah, God. So Allah is like Mr., is like doctor, is like teacher, just a title. In the Quran, there is 99 names for Allah. So Allah is a title and he is his names. But we Christians do not worship the God Allah, the God of Muhammad, for he is absolute samad. He is solid. He have no son. The Holy Spirit is not God. Jesus is not God. But when we Christian, for example, read John 3:16, we say, "For Allah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That's not what Muslims believe. So Christian believe in a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But Muslims do not believe that Jesus is God or the Holy Spirit is God. As a matter of fact, if you believe in that, you become an infidel. And Muslims have the right to kill you, to take over your family and everything you got.
Okay, so the Allah of Islam is not the same as Jehovah God of the Bible.
Nope.
We're talking
actually, Allah, the God of Muhammad, is Satan. Period, if you want to put it in the right word. Now,
so you would not recommend then that they change God to Allah as far as changing words and songs and stuff like that?
It's just a title. Mm-hmm. It's just a word, God.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you... When you read in the Bible, there is God, there is other gods, and we still use G-O-D-S, plural. So,
lowercase.
Lowercase, but in the Greek language, in the Hebrew language, we do not have higher lowercase.
Elohim.
It's the same word, Elohim. Use the word Elohim... Plural for God. But now the important question which you asked, Brother Jim, some of the English translation, the Arabic translation today is I'm not agree with it at all. I don't like it at all. To say, instead of we say Yeshua, which is the name Jesus in the Arabic language, we put the name Isa. And if you ask why you put Isa, well, because that's how Muslims know it. No, that's a false name because before Muhammad was born, for a good 600 years, from Act 2 until Muhammad was born, there were many Christian Arabs who know the name Yeshua to be the real name for Jesus, which is the Hebrew name, which means Savior. Isa have no meaning. Instead of you say Ibn Allah, Son of God, you say the Messenger of God. I'm sorry, Jesus is not the Messenger of God. Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh. He is the Son of God. And if that offends the Muslims, maybe they do not need to accept Christianity. Because I'm not going to sugarcoat or water down the Bible to make some Muslim accept our Christian faith.
Right.
Because then we lead them to a false Christianity.
Okay, our number 800-733-9829. Eddie in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. I was going to have two questions. I'm going to cut it down to one, and I'm going to have a statement after it. How long is it going to be before we have to change our motto on our currency? And the statement I was going to make was, no wonder they hate our pledge, one nation under God. And that's all I got, brother.
Okay.
Well, I believe when we lose the value of our money, anything can be written in it. When America becomes Venezuela, which could happen any time in the near future, then it doesn't matter, actually. We're going to be using the Chinese money, the yuan, I believe, the name for it. So it doesn't matter. Then they can take under God or anything, a mission about God in our money, because it will not have any value then anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Maxine, calling next from Prairie du Chien. Hi, Maxine.
Yes, hi. I was just wondering if we just have a few moments, like to greet a Muslim person in the grocery store, what is something significant that we could say?
Well, I hope and I pray that you go to our website and find our green booklet. It's called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. The Straight Way to Eternal Life. And if you get a large quantity of it, you'll be able to literally have it in your wallet or in your small baggage when you go to store or anywhere. Whenever you see a Muslim and say, hello, how are you doing? I hope you have a great day. Do you speak English? Oh, can you read English? And then you give her or the family one of these booklets in their hand, because in that green booklet, you will be able to see the present the truth of the gospel to these wonderful people. It's down there, Brother Jim.
I just wanted to hear. So if you go to thestraightway.org, and then you're going to be clicking on Learn from Usama, and you'll see his books, and there's a tiny little booklet as you scroll down there called The Straight Way to Eternal Life, and it's a little 24-page booklet that is ideal, that shares the gospel specifically for Muslims.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a phone number that we could use as well?
941-223-1703. That's 941-223-1703.
1703. Well, thank you so much.
Sure, okay. Sister.
Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Ron next. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, it's a question suggestion. They were going to defund the police in Minneapolis, and now they increased the budget by $6.4 million. I was wondering if there's a way to watch on who they hired and what they use that money for, because it might become a Muslim police state. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, believe it or not, as long as we have the liberals in the White House, there will be a higher important job given to the Muslims, and there's nothing you can do it to stop it or hinder it, as we already have this happening in many cities, like in New York. There's a lot of policemen now who are Muslims. I think it's going to be a requirement. You must hire Muslim policemen whenever there is a Muslim in the community.
Quotas.
Because they don't want to send an infidel to a Muslim community to communicate with the Muslim people in case there is any trouble in the near future.
Mm, interesting. Let's go to Brian in Richland, Washington. You're on the air, Brian.
Yeah, I was wondering, I read the Quran, the whole thing. They say in there that the Brit Hadashah, the Christians changed the Brit Hadashah, like it wasn't actually Yeshua who was put on the cross and other things. And I was wondering, where is there evidence for that?
I'm sorry, what is the question again, brother? I'm missing your question.
They said that the Christians corrupted the New Testament.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
For example, that the Christians say it was Yeshua or Esau put on the cross, and they say, no, it was somebody else who looked like him.
Sure. Okay.
Well, it is a fact about the corruption of the Bible. In that small booklet we talked about earlier, The Straight Way to Eternal Life, in the first portion of it, we use the Quran to prove to our dear Muslim friends that the Bible is the perfect word of God, cannot be changed, cannot be corrupted. Now, when Muslims say we believe in the gospel, we believe in the Torah, Old Testament, New Testament. But at the same time, they say, well, not this one you have in your hand, because the one you have in your hand is corrupted. And now we ask the question, who corrupted? Where it was corrupted? And which part of it is corrupted? Obviously, this question Muslims have no answer. Because the Quran said, no one can change the words of Allah. Even in Quran chapter 10, verse 95, I believe, Allah is telling Muhammad, if you are in doubt concerning what we have revealed to you, so ask the people who are reading the book. Muhammad was given the advice of Allah when he doubted the Quran to check his Quran by the Bible. That's 600 years after Christ. Which means, first of all, the Bible was there because people could not read the books they do not have. Number two, the Bible was accurate in Muhammad's days, because how can Allah, all-knowing, will ask Muhammad to check his book with a corrupt book? There are plenty of evidence in the Quran to prove that the Bible cannot be changed, since it is, at least it used to be, the Word of God. Now, as for who died on the cross, that is a very ambiguous verse, Quran 4:171, where Allah told the Muslims it was not, he was not killed or crucified, but it was made to appear to him or to them. So somebody else instead of Jesus died on the cross. And in reality, my friends, Muslim scholars have no clue what Allah is saying there. They give you many different opinions. But the truth is, the scripture, the Bible, is the word of God. The crucifixion of Christ is not just invention of the New Testament. Mm. It was actually prophesied for hundreds of years before our Lord and our Savior came in the flesh. Muslims have no answer for many questions when they open the subject of the Bible has been corrupted or changed.
Interesting. Thank you.
Thank you for the call here, Brian. Let's go to Dan next. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi, Osama. This is great. We met in Neillsville, Wisconsin, a couple of years ago, and brought a Muslim friend up there, and he's been coming to our Bible study, a men's Bible study.
Amen.
But now he's been confronted, and he always brought his dissension and doubt to our Bible study. So we have basically, you know, shut him up. Is there any advice that you can give to people? And he's been going to lots of different Bible studies around the area.
Well,
and, you know, you told me he was seeking, but I don't believe he's seeking anymore. And so, yet, I think he is here just to bring dissension doubt and confrontation to people.
A quick answer, brother. Here's the truth. Not too many Muslims, and not every Muslim come to our churches are seeking the truth. They are following the deception of Allah, the best deceiver. And what they do is they pretend to be interested in Christianity. They pretend to want to know more about Christianity, but they're there for one other reason, which is to cause conflict, to cause some of the believers to doubt the scripture. Therefore, we need to be carefully who we bring to our meetings and how much we allow them to ask. I will not add any Muslim to the church unless first he gets saved. For the scripture said, they added to the church those who believed. So we have to be very careful not to get too excited about some Muslim join our group, but we need to be very cautious that there are plenty of Muslims who use deception. They are not interested in Jesus. Even when they ask questions, they already know the answers. They're just there to cause conflict and cause trouble in the church.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. And my mind just went here to 2 John as well, where it talks about the, if there come in any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed.
Sure.
And to bring Muslims in for the purpose for them to cause doubt and deception among others in that regard, it's time to show them the door.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We are just seconds from the break, so rather than interrupt our next caller, we're going to Herman, stand the line. You'll be next, and Catherine, Courtney, and others, our number 800-733-9829. The booklet that Usama is referencing, the Straight Way to Eternal Life booklet, you'll find it at thestraightway.org. You also can contact them for quantities of them, 941-223-1703. That's 941-223-1703. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
It's an open forum on Islam today. With us today, Usama Dakdak, who has a Muslim that exposes the teaching of Islam and also has the burden of reaching Muslims with the gospel, Muslims for Christ. We're going right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Let's continue with Herman in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
My question is, how would they respond to the rapture of the church?
Well, Muslims have another completely different story concerning the end of time. They do not believe that the church will be raptured, but they believe that Isa, son of Mary, that is Muhammad's Jesus, will come back to this world. He will have four wives, and he will preach the cross, meaning get rid of Christianity. He will kill the pigs, meaning get rid of the Jews, and he will make the whole world a Muslim world who believe in Muhammad, in Allah, and that will be the end of time. Obviously, we don't believe in that as Christians, and this is a falsehood taught by Muslims as Muhammad taught them. So, they do not believe on the subject of the church rapture at all.
Well, how would they react when it really does happen? Say it could happen right now.
Amen. And we, right? We're with, come Lord
how
Jesus.
What happened?
Yeah, thank you for your call. would they not say, Allah has granted us his victory?
Absolutely. I believe lots of Muslims are going to get excited about that when it happens that Allah got rid of all the infidel Christians from the world. Mm-hmm. And now we are living in the will of Allah for the rest of whatever time he gives to them.
Thank you, Herman. We're going next to Catherine in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
On the air right now?
Yes, go ahead.
I was wondering if...
Catherine, turn your radio down, please. You're getting confused by the delay.
Okay. I was wondering if Muhammad is from the lineage of Ishmael or Esau, and if it really matters.
Great. Thank you, Catherine.
Well, Muslims claim that Muhammad is son of Abdullah, and they believe that he is a descendant of Ishmael. But we found from the scriptures, the Holy Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, that Abraham have many children. Of course, Keturah is the one whom he married, Genesis 25, verses 1 to 6. And she brought for him her children, who are the Arab ancestries. So all the Arab fathers came from Abraham and Keturah, who live in the country of the east. Now, in the same chapter, Genesis 25, you go to verse 18 and down, to 18 to 26, you learn about Ishmael and the 12 sons of Ishmael who live up north between Havilah, which is in front of Egypt, and Assyria. Ishmaelites are not Arab, and Arab are not Ishmaelites. The funny thing is that Muhammad's father, who's Abdullah, died 3 years before Muhammad was born. I did not make a mistake. I know exactly what I'm saying. Abdullah died 3 years before Muhammad is born. That's why in Sharia, in Islam, they believe a woman can be pregnant up to 4 years. So if the Muslim do not know who is the real father of Muhammad, how in the world they can tie Muhammad to Ishmael when we know for sure Ishmael have nothing to do with Arabs?
Okay, let's go to Kevin next. Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, Kevin.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question. How would you witness to a Muslim? And I had another question, which would you like me to ask that first? Or would
sure,
you like
sure. What,
to,
let's get both your questions. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Muslims like to say that Jesus doesn't say he's God because he says, "Why thou callest me good? There is none good save one that is God."
Mm-hmm. And so
I was wondering... Mm-hmm. Like, how could you, because I know Muslims use that.
All right.
But I was wondering how you could, respond to that.
Sure.
Okay. Let's do that question first.
First, how to witness a Muslim? It's a green booklet. It's available. And I believe there are many ways you can minister to Muslims. But if you share with me everything good about your belief from your book, which I believe is corrupted, how good is what you are doing? You're wasting your time. It's like you're throwing pearls under the poor pig's feet, and Jesus taught us not to do that. So that's why in this document, in this small booklet, we first proof to the Muslims that the Bible is a perfect word of God. It cannot be changed. It cannot be corrupted. Never, never until the end of time. And then you can go to the next step in that green booklet where we share with the Muslims that the Quran cannot be the word of God. I'm not using the Quran to prove to the Muslims that my Bible is accurate because I have no evidence from my own book, but because he believes in his Quran. Now I'm going to use this Quran also to destroy his faith in Islam, which means here is your Quran is full of contradiction, is full of errors, is full of nonsense, and there are plenty, trust me. And then you can go to the same truth, which is the only truth we have, the truth of the gospel, which is the third portion of that green booklet. That is how we answered. Now, Muslims have many questions. How can God, Jesus be God? And he told this guy who asked him, there is no good except God. Why you call me good rabbi or good teacher? My friend, it's not just one question like that. There are hundreds of questions. The more we know the scripture, the truth of the word of God, the easier we can answer. We know from the scripture, for example, in Genesis, that the Holy Spirit wrote through Moses that the creator of the universe is the word of God. Genesis 1 verse 3 and 6 and 9 and 12 and 18 and 24. It says, and God said, and that word brought things to existence, the creation. You go to John 1 and it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Everything was created by the word. And John 1:14 said what? And the word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the word of God who became flesh. If I go to the Quran and I use their own book, I will prove to him that Jesus is the word of God because it is written in the Quran. Isa, son of Mary, is the word of Allah and a spirit from him. Before he even quotes that verse for him, we ask, is the word of Allah a created thing or eternal? Muslims say, oh, the word of Allah is eternal. Now, is the spirit of Allah, of God or Allah, is a created thing or eternal? He will say, it's eternal. Well, here, Quran 4:171, Allah said, Isa, son of Mary, is the word of Allah and a spirit from him. So Isa, son of Mary, Jesus of Muhammad, is eternal. The word of God is eternal. And we can go on another hours and hours of teaching to cover this question. When Jesus says, why do you call me God? Good. And there is no one good except God. It's like Jesus asking that young man, do you believe I am God? We see this oratorical question all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. That does not mean Jesus is denying that he is good or denying that he is God, because he said, I and the Father are one of the same substance. So obviously, there are plenty of questions. We will take a long time to answer all of them.
Okay, but, thank you, sir. I appreciate
sure.
your time.
Thank you. And by the way, this booklet here called, it was at the Straight Way to Eternal Life, the little green booklet Usama keeps referring to. On their website, they have 3 copies of that available for $5. They have 10 copies available for $10 through the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. And you go to thestraightway.org. You can order it there, or you can contact, call the number that Usama gave, the 941-223-1703. And these are a handy little booklet you can keep in a pocket or purse and give them out as an effective witnessing tool to Muslims.
That's how to witness to Muslims in less than 10 seconds.
Okay, just handing them the booklet.
That's all what you can do.
Wow.
And pray. Of course, we need prayer for the Lord to speak to their heart and move into their life. You know.
Let's go to Miami, Florida next. Hi, Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, and God bless you, Usama. I'm glad that you stole my verses, man. I praise God for guiding you through those verses. But this is one I also want to add. Ephesians, and God bless all you saints out there. Ephesians 4, 6, 7, and 8. But I'm only going to read 2 of them because I want somebody else to get on. And, oh, wait a minute, I got the wrong page. 4, 5, and 6. There is one body and one spirit, as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now note this, saints, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all.
Amen. Amen.
The thing is, God cannot lie.
Sure.
Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And one thing that God cannot do, he cannot lie.
Amen.
But the devil will use three religions. Know what I'm saying? Religions, Catholicism, Judaism, Mormonism, all that. All those are isms. That's not of God.
Right.
So God bless you, saints. And when I go past the Muslims, I have witnessed to some, and I told them in the beginning, I know you have a right to behead me, but I'm going to tell you about the Lord.
Yeah.
But I always ask God, Lord, you guide me before I go out
Amen.
Today to show me who you want me to witness to. God Amen. Bless all you saints. And
Thank
you bless my soul, sir. I'm taping it down so I can make tapes from you.
Great.
God bless you.
God bless you, Courtney. Thank you. Jose in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, Osama. Question is, what is the difference between Shiite and Sunni, and do they both use the Quran in their beliefs?
Thank you. Very good question. The split between Shia and Sunni came to existence after Muhammad's death. For the Shiite would love to have Ali to be the successor, the Khalifa after Muhammad, but the Sunni would love Abu Bakr Siddiq, who is Muhammad's father-in-law. Muhammad was married to his daughter, Aisha, the 6-year-old child. And that's where the split. But both Shiite and Sunni believe in the Quran. They both believe in Muhammad. They both, if they're following the beliefs of Islam, they both are what they call savage. And you see the Muslim Sunni in America say, well, we are the good Muslims. The Shiite are the bad ones, the Irani. Yeah, Irani are bad one. But then he talks to the Shia, they said, we are the good ones. The bad Muslims are the Muslims of Saudi, the Sunnis, the Wahhabi. Trust me, all Muslims, if they follow Islam, they're no good because they're following a savage cult. Even though they try to cause these two names, Sunni and Shia, to make a huge difference between one another. No, they both hate us. They both hate Jesus Christ. They both want us dead. So obviously, there's no difference between Shia and Sunni.
So that's what you're saying about the teaching of Islam itself. But these are people that we need to reach with the gospel message.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Brother Jim. There are plenty of Muslims who think they're Shiite and they're good because they do not know Islam. And the same with the Sunni. Both of them need to be educated about the real Islam, the word of Allah in the Quran, the commands of Muhammad and the Hadith. And by that, trust me, majority of Muslims come in to become a Christian for two simple reasons. Number one, they got to know Islam by knowing the Quran, or they got to know Muhammad by studying the Sunnah of Muhammad, his saying and his teaching. And when the Muslims know they're lost, they always seek the truth.
Let's go to William next in East Troy. You're on the air, William.
Yes, Usama, great to hear you on the radio today. In Jeremiah 14:14, it says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination. So in the Old Testament, if a prophet prophesies one thing, he is to be rejected for all time. Are there any prophecies that Muhammad gave that would disqualify him as a prophet?
Well, to be honest with you, Muhammad is the only prophet I know of who would never give any prophecy. So a prophet without prophecy. But in Quran chapter 109, verse 6, Allah gave a prophecy where he said in verse 6, in the future tense, that the people of Quraysh, these are the infidels of Mecca, will never serve him. And surprise, surprise, after that prophecy was written, just a few years after that, all of them accept Islam and all of them serve Allah, which means Allah himself is a false God because he gave a false prophecy concerning the future of the people of Mecca. If none of them became a Muslim, then we can say, yep, that's a true prophecy. But guess what? It's a false prophecy by Allah himself in Quran chapter 109 and verse 6.
Thank you, William. I'm going to follow up with that question after the break. Why then do we call him Prophet Muhammad? So we'll cover that right afterwards, and we'll take more of your questions here as well at 800-733-9829 and open forum on Islam Today with Usama Dakdak from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I spent hours listening to the keynote addresses from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Conference. Hours, boring hours, listening to pull out the few nuggets. What were they saying that I call nuggets? Well, they were spilling their guts on what they really want to accomplish, which is global fascism. They were openly talking about merging big government and big business. They were talking about social credit scores virtually for American corporations and all corporations worldwide. Those corporations that obey the political correctness when it comes to radical environmentalism, social justice, critical race theory, and others, well, they'll be rewarded. They openly called for punishment on the corporations that don't obey. Understand, social credit scores are coming for individuals and for your small business, and they will punish you if you don't get in line.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, Usama Dakdak with us today, an open forum on Islam. And just before we pick up the next call, you said Muhammad never prophesied. Why do we refer to him in society today as the Prophet Muhammad?
Well, because we do not know too much about Muhammad. As a matter of fact, even if he have given hundreds of prophecies, even if his prophecies were fulfilled, as the scripture foretold, that does not make him a true prophet. So Muslim believes there's 120, Muhammad tells the Muslims there are 124,000 of prophets. 315 of them are messenger. And Muhammad has the privilege of the title of a prophet and a messenger. And if you ask Muslims, even Muslim imams, why you call Muhammad the prophet? They say, oh, because he's a messenger. Wait a minute. A messenger have nothing to do with a prophet. There's two different subjects here. But because Muslims said so, and we kind of repeat what they say, we come to believe it. If Muslim examine all the teaching of Muhammad, we will find that he never gave a prophecy. Maybe someone said, well, there is one actually prophecy in the Quran concerning a Roman battle. And he said, they're going to win the battle. And somebody's going to win the battle. And that's like me telling you, Brother Jim, sometime next week there's a 50-50 chance of snow in Wisconsin. That's not a prophecy. A prophecy have to have details and must be fulfilled. And the person who gives a prophecy must lead the people to worship the God of the Bible. That is the most important test, because God said even false prophets, they will prophesy and the prophecy will be fulfilled. I'm sorry, Muhammad never gave any sincere prophecy except that one which is a guess in a near land. In next few years, somebody's going to win a battle. That's not a prophecy, but Muhammad never led the Muslim to worship the God of the Bible, or we would have seen some Muslim worship and believe in the triune God, and that never exists in Islam.
Let's go to Columbia, Missouri next, and we have Kamal. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I have a couple of questions regarding for his answering. He said that Prophet Muhammad, he married Aisha, Abu Bakr's daughter, for 6 years. That's not right. Second thing, he said that all Muslim people, they hate Christian and Christianity. That's not right. We all love all the other religions, and that's why we live in the United States, and we live everywhere in the world.
Okay, before we go on to three, let's deal with what you've said so far here, so Usama can respond to you.
Absolutely.
Here.
When I say Muhammad was married to Aisha, we read in Sahih Muslim, Hadith number 1422, Aisha said, the Prophet, Allah's prayer and peace be upon him, married me when I was 6 years old and had sex with me when I was 9 years old, and he died when I was 18 years old. Muhammad died at the age of 63. That means he was 51 years old when he married Aisha and she was 6. Had sexual relationship when he was 54 years old and she was 9. This is not my personal opinion. That's what is written in all Muslim scholars' books. What the second question?
The second question he is asking here is that we said, you say that we Muslims all hate Christians. No, he said that's wrong. That's why we are here in America.
Okay. We have to understand that the final word of Allah, Quran chapter 3, verse 85, whoever desires any other religion except Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and is hereafter he will be among the losers. All Christians will burn in hell. All Jews will burn in hell. Everybody who will not submit Islam will burn in hell. That's why the Apostle of Allah, Muhammad, says, I have been commanded by Allah to engage in war with people until they say there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. This is a shahada, first pillar in Islam. Islam is not a loving, peaceful religion. There is no love whatsoever in anywhere in the final words of Allah in the Quran or in the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. Islam is not in America because they love to live with Jews and the Christian, even though they love to marry Jewish and Christian ladies to invade this country with having new Muslim babies. But in reality, they don't. And if it is true, why can't I, as a Christian man, marry to a Muslim girl, or a Jewish man marry to a Muslim girl? This is just propaganda talk, no action whatsoever.
Go ahead, Kamal.
Well, I have a couple objections. Prophet Muhammad, he wasn't made a six with made six with Aisha when she was nine. That's wrong information. I'm sorry to tell you.
No,
well, the, brother, excuse me.
Now, this is a direct quote. You're quoting from, what is a direct quote from?
It is Sahih Muslim, the correct hadith of Muslim. It is in Sahih Bukhari. It is in Riyad al-Salihin. It is in your writings, the writing of your scholars, Ibn Kathir, Al-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Jalalain. It is all over your books. Go to any website, Muslim website you choose to. We have no control over what is written 1,400 years ago or what is exists today. That's why. Go to the Book of Sharia, written in America, 1991, where they actually give the Muslim man the right to be married to a child after birth, as long as he will not have sex with that wife until she turns between 8 and 9. This is in your books, taught in America, approved by the Azhar University. So maybe you need to know your Islam, my friend.
I'm saying that's not right. There's no logically any brain except just what you're saying. I'm sorry to say that, but there is no way. So how we can live with, we can do something like this? Shame, it's shame on Prophet Muhammad to say that. It's so there to say.
My friend, your prophet, with all respect, your prophet was a pedophilia. He was a child molester. If you do not know that, you need to go back to your books. Study the Sunnah of Muhammad so you can leave that cult. You will continue to defend it, and you tie yourself in a chain to it. And not only you will never be set free from it, neither your children or your grandchildren. We love you, Muslim friends. We want you to be set free from the savage cult of Islam. But as long as you wear these black glasses of Islam and try to say any truth we can say about your Muhammad or your Allah, you defend Muhammad for the rest of your life, you're going to die a Muslim. Sadly, your children will die Muslims. Set yourself free, my brother. Cut the chain of Islam from your neck and set yourself free. Investigate the life of Muhammad. Go read Sirat Ibn Hisham. Go read any Muslim of your scholars who told us all over the books, your Muhammad is a sinful, wicked man. Keep calling him prophet, and you will die, sadly, to spend eternity with him in hell.
Right. We are, Kamal, I wish we had more time, but we don't. Our theme...
I'd like to give him my number, if you don't mind.
Please,
here's
go ahead.
Brother Kamal, here's my number, 941-223-3698. This is my cell phone number, 941-223-3698. Call me back. I would love to talk with you some more.
Yeah, and follow up with him as well, Kamal. Thank you. And the theme music is closing, and we've simply run out of time, and we apologize to all the other callers that are holding right here as well. TheStraightWay.org is the website, TheStraightWay.org, and to Kamal and other Muslims who are listening right now, even to follow up with you, Usama, 941-223-3698. Thank you, Usama, for being with us.
Thank you, Brother.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.